This is People First Radio On Demand, podcasts, streaming, and MP3 downloads, available when you want to listen at chly.ca and at the People First Radio website.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
The province of British Columbia's new Family Law Act took effect on March 18, 2013. It replaces the Family Relations Act, which has governed family law in the province for the past 35 years. The new act makes a number of significant changes to the law, which it is hoped will better protect women's equality, safety, and rights in family law cases. The Family Law Act includes a range of legal changes to areas such as property rights, family violence, protecting children, and dispute resolution. The changes to family law have also won praise from women's rights advocates, but West Coast Leaf, a nonprofit working to establish women's equality in Canada, points out that no funding has been committed to address the increased demands on mediators, arbitrators, and family justice counselors that the Act is sure to create. Nor has any commitment been made to increasing legal aid to allow parties to access and enforce the rights that the new Act protects.
I spoke earlier in the week with Laura Track, who's the executive director of West Coast Leaf. Here's that interview.
Give us an overview of British Columbia's new Family Act, beginning with its implications for children.
Well, the new Family Law Act makes sweeping changes to family law in British Columbia. The old Act, the Family Relations Act, hadn't been updated since the 1970s, and it really needed an overhaul to reflect the changes in British Columbian families. As far as children goes, what the new Act does is make the best interests of children the only consideration when the courts are considering how to arrange parenting time and contact with the child and parents and other people in the family. It used to be that the child's best interest was the paramount consideration or the primary consideration, but the new Act makes it the only consideration. So the factors influencing the best interests of the child are going to be really, really crucial for determining how parenting arrangements are set up.
You said in a news release that West Coast Leaf is hoping that women's equality in family law will be advanced as well. Tell us more about the expected impacts on women of the new Act.
Well, I think it's important to recognize how important family law is to women's equality. We know that women are vastly disproportionately represented among victims of violence, victims of domestic violence in family situations. And we also know that because of historic gender roles, women tend to be more likely to be economically disadvantaged when a relationship breaks down. So changes to the Family Law Act that protect and advance women's equality are crucial, and were changes to the law that West Coast Leaf has been advocating for a long time. One of the most significant changes to the Family Law Act is its inclusion of the issue of family violence right in the law, with clear directions to the courts and to other professionals involved in family law cases like lawyers and mediators to consider the issue of family violence. And family violence is recognized as relevant to the best interests of children. And so courts, when they're determining parenting arrangements and considering the best interests of children, are advised to consider whether there are issues of family violence. And moreover, the Act gives a very broad and useful definition of family law and recognizes that, of family violence, and recognizes that family violence doesn't just mean physical abuse, but can also include emotional and psychological abuse, the use of threats, coercive and controlling behavior. These kinds of things are included in the definition of family violence. And that's helpful as a guide to courts and other people involved in family law issues to guide our thinking and our understanding about the kinds of risks and threats that people may be subjected to in family situations.
Now, there are also implications for property and common law relationships. What are your thoughts about those changes?
I think that what the Act does is draws common law spouses who have lived together for at least 2 years into the regime for dividing property and for dividing debt as well, and that's brand new in the Act. Previously, common law couples who wanted to make a claim for a division of property had to use very complicated legal arguments to make those cases, and had to argue about issues of fairness. And this Act prescribes very clearly how division of property and debt issues are to be treated, and brings common law couples into that mix. And I think it's important that this new Act reflects the fact that there are so many more common law relationships today in British Columbia than there were in the 1970s when we were following the previous Act. And so recognizing those changing dynamics and ensuring that that couples are protected and that there is fairness in terms of property that's been acquired during the course of a common law relationship, that there's fairness in the division of those assets if the relationship breaks down.
Now, Laura, you noted in a news release earlier this week that the new Act places significant emphasis on out-of-court dispute resolution in family cases, but that no funding has been committed to help make this happen. Why is funding needed?
Well, funding for the out-of-court dispute resolution processes that are contemplated in the new Act is absolutely essential. I think that out-of-court dispute resolution in many family law matters is a great option. It can make the case proceed more quickly. It's can be a much cheaper option than going to court. But many people are simply not going to be able to afford those options either. There's one class of professional parenting coordinators in the new Act who can be appointed to help parties resolve issues around parenting arrangements. Parenting coordinators can be very, very expensive and just won't be a realistic option for many families. We also know that while mediation and other alternative dispute resolution processes are a great option in some circumstances, they're simply not appropriate in situations where there is violence present in the relationship, where there are significant power imbalances between the parties. Women who have been abused by a spouse simply can't be expected to negotiate a fair agreement with someone that they're terrified of. And so ensuring that people are also able to access the courts when that's required, when a judge's intervention is required, that's really, really crucial as well.
You mentioned there's a current lack of legal aid funding, and that means that many women will go unrepresented in court. Tell us about the challenges around that lack of funding.
Legal aid has undergone dramatic cutbacks in the last 10 years, and in particular, funding for legal aid in family law matters has seen some of the most dramatic cutbacks of all. And women, as I mentioned in particular, are more likely to be economically disadvantaged when a relationship breaks down. It's more likely that they have, for example, left the workforce in order to raise children at home. And so if a relationship breaks down, their need for access to property division, to spousal support and child support is greater. And so legal aid funding is truly essential for women's equality and women's rights and women's ability to access the courts when their family law cases do need to go to court and do need the intervention of a judge. And West Coast Leaf and numerous other groups have been working for years to make the case for adequate funding of legal aid as a matter of women's equality and rights, and as a matter of access to justice and to the rule of law. We have, in many respects, a very progressive piece of legislation coming out here in the Family Law Act. But without access to the courts and without access to legal advice and representation, accessing those rights can be all but impossible for many people, particularly low-income people, and legal aid is necessary if we're to make those rights protected in the Family Law Act meaningful.
Are there any other deficiencies in or related to the new Family Act that come to mind for you?
One of the shortcomings in the Family Law Act that I see is despite its broad definition of family violence and its direction to family dispute resolution professionals like mediators and arbitrators and judges and lawyers to consider issues of family violence and to screen for family violence, one class of professionals seems to be exempted from that directive. And these are the professionals who prepare custody and access assessments, which are reports about parenting capacity, previously called Section 15 reports, because that was the section they were covered in under the old Act. But these custody and access assessments are often done by psychologists, family counselors, and other professionals. And West Coast Leaf has heard from many women and many advocates who work with women about cases where professionals have simply neglected to really adequately address issues of family violence in these reports. And in preparing the reports, these reports go to court and are relied on by judges quite heavily in determining parenting arrangements and custody and visitation and so forth. And if those reports are prepared without an adequate assessment of family violence, that makes it very difficult for the judge to do his or her job, which is to determine the best interests of the child, taking into account family violence. And so we feel that there is a gap in the legislation ensuring that these custody and access assessments are prepared in a way that adequately considers issues of family violence.
Is there a way that that can be responded to now, once, even though the Act has been proclaimed, so to speak, or has become law?
Certainly it would be a quite a simple amendment to the legislation to include that directive to custody and access assessors. And we've been in discussions with government officials about making that amendment, although I'm not clear at this point whether the amendment is likely to be made.
Laura Track, is there anything else you'd like to add?
Well, I would just like to add that West Coast Leaf and, of course, numerous others will be watching with great interest to see how the Act is interpreted and applied by the courts, and will be particularly interested to see if the new protection orders, which are another new component of the Family Law Act, how those play out in practice. They are very much like restraining orders. They are new in the Act, and they can be enforced by police in situations of abuse in order to protect vulnerable spouses. We're uncertain at this point that there's been sufficient training for police about how to enforce these new acts, these new orders, which have just come into effect with the new Act. But we're hopeful that they're another mechanism that will help keep women safe.
Thank you very much for taking the time to join us.
You're welcome. Thanks very much for speaking with me.
Laura Track is Executive Director of West Coast Women's Legal Education and Action Fund. You can find them online at westcoastleaf.org.
This is a People First Radio podcast. People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Center Society in partnership with Radio Malaspina Society and produced at CHLY Community Radio in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed in this interview do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the partnering organizations. Visit us online. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpage.